to live righteously. It's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It's episode number 387. This episode is titled Quarantine with Six Kids because guess what? We're actually going to get to the audio that I did the interview with the guy, Jason, and his six kids. They're quarantined. They've been since the original, and I promise you it's coming up in this episode. If you listened to episode 386 and you went, yeah, you never got to that, I promise you it's coming up in this episode. Hope that you are enjoying all of the episodes that we put out. We should call this, maybe, the Happy Birthday Brother Kyle episode, but I just didn't
want it. That's what we should call it? Come on.
I didn't want it to go to your head. Happy birthday, sir.
It already has. Thank you.
You are a big marking birthday today. Congratulations.
Half century today at 1:36 a.m. I turned.
I thought it was 60, so I'm glad to know that it's only 50.
Mean.
You've aged great.
Thank you.
Reed, not actually that great.
All right.
How's birthday during self-quarantine? You doing okay?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I noticed you went for a bike ride, a responsible, socially distant bike ride, which is actually your favorite kind.
Yeah. Yep. Alone yesterday to just because it might be my only chance around my birthday to bike ride. And it's what I do. And I had to clear my head, and it was a good one. It was snowing lightly, but it was sunny and a surreal kind of little ride. But sometimes I just get out alone to like clear my head. It's been a rough couple weeks for everybody.
Yeah.
For me.
You doing all right with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing, I think, as good as I can. I'm hanging in there.
Taking care of your family and or your pseudo family?
Yes, good. I am, actually. Had a birthday party last night because my pretend daughter's birthday is the day before mine. So
we had a
joint birthday party for us yesterday.
Were you socially distant or was it just a small party?
No, it was just us, just the fam together.
And she turned how old?
She's 15.
Oh, my gosh. Learner's permit and the whole deal?
Yep, we're going out to learn to drive soon.
Okay. Is she going with mom or is she going with you?
No, she's going with me.
Yeah, because mom will just lose it. That's what.
Yeah, and she realized that, so she requests that I take her to drive.
The non-related parent is always the best option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have a cooler car.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll drive around the church parking lot.
Yeah, you will.
That's where you go to learn to drive, is you start in the church parking lot.
So I also am doing well. I'll just mention this, and then we're actually going to do news here in the first break. Then we'll take a break, and then we'll get to that interview with Jason from Quarantined with Six Kids. I just want to say that I have found, you'll hate this, I have found great favor with my Traeger grill in this time that we have to be self-disciplined. I have now grilled yet again. In fact, as we speak, middle of the day, I have yet another slab of meat out on the Traeger grill.
Well, how long did he cook it on that thing for? Like all day?
Slow and low, baby. Slow and low.
Ah.
Yep.
All right.
I'm doing a tri-tip right now. You know what that means?
I do.
Three tips.
Tres tipones.
Yep. If you want to translate it, yes. I don't think that tipones is actually the translation, but I appreciate what you did there. I appreciate it very much.
You could cut it into any number of tips you want. You could have a dual tip. You could have a quad tip.
Yeah, here's a tip for you. Don't do that. Let's do some actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news.
Here we go.
Now, the majority of what we have to share is obviously coronavirus related, but there are a couple that aren't, so we will start there. The first one being, there is a website that has said that the most conservative college, yes, that's right, we talk about the most conservative college in the entire United States, according to...
Anybody want to guess this right now? You'll probably be right.
Niche.com. Now, go ahead and answer, because I think that you might be surprised.
Oh, you want me to answer? You're waiting for everybody else to answer.
No, you do
it.
Niche.com.
BYU, Idaho.
Okay, so you did get it. Where do you think BYU Provo falls in?
I will say three.
Okay, four. So you're
four?
Close.
Okay.
Yep, you're close.
Yeah, just so everybody knows, I didn't look at the results. I am just guessing here.
Everyone knows. I'm not reading the webpage along with you.
I'm really not. So who was number two and three?
I'm looking that up right now, but it should be good to mention that Utah State is number 11. That's up in Logan, Utah, northern part of Utah. And then Southern Utah University, my alma mater, came in at number 38. So Utah has, you know, of the top 50, we
I
have...
can see them at 38. I'm a little surprised at USU at 11, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, just a little bit.
You think they get a little crazy up there? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'd expect them more in the, you know, 40 range, 35 to 40.
Okay, okay.
Down there with your school. Your school, that 38, that's pretty party-y.
Yeah.
Party-ish.
I think there are literal thousands of colleges in the United States, and so for it to be 38, not so much party-y.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking it up because niche.com, even though people have been sharing this article, doesn't make it. There it is.
And as you type, by the way, we here in Salt Lake City, Utah, have had some more aftershocks to our earthquake today.
Oh, yeah. Have you felt any of those?
I have not. But as you sometimes as you type, I see your I can see Richie, but he can't see me.
Mm-hmm.
I see your screen bounce, and I'm afraid that we're having another earthquake, quite honestly.
Okay. So BYU Idaho is number one. Number two is Cedarville University in Ohio. Cedarville, Ohio. That is a Baptist university. Liberty University, which I believe is Episcopalian. I'm not actually sure. Then you have the Brigham Young University of Provo, Utah. Rounding out the top 10, Bob Jones University, a known conservative, Bob Jones. Franciscan University of Steubenville, that's in Ohio as well. Steubenville, a fun place to say. Steubenville.
Ohio.
Also, number seven, Colorado Christian University. Well, yeah, it says it right in the name.
Yeah.
Number eight, Cornerstone University. Number nine, Oklahoma Christian University. And number 10, from Tulsa, Oklahoma, rounding out the top 10, Oral Roberts University. I've been there.
Good try, yeah. Oral Roberts.
Yeah. Nice.
Still,
maybe next year. Maybe next year.
And come on, BYU, number four.
I know. You could knock out two or three easy.
You got to get on the podium. Yeah, that four is not that great.
All right, another non-related to coronavirus story. There are some folks that see the message. You mentioned the earthquakes and the subsequent, aftershocks that we have experienced here.
Uh-huh.
You have mentioned that some people are feeling more and more aftershocks, and some of those people, because the fallen trumpet... If you missed in our last articles of news, the fallen trumpet from the Salt Lake Temple out of Moroni's hands to the tower below it. Some people are saying, hey, you know what? That's a religious sign.
Yeah.
That's a symbol.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What about the other times it fell off?
Well, I don't know that has it ever fallen off at the Salt Lake Temple before?
That I don't know.
Okay. So people, they talk about how Brigham Young saw the vision of the temple and sort of base it in that. When news that Moroni's trumpet had been dashed from his hands, there was a predictably varied response among Latter-day Saints and others who looked for significance in it. Some religious critics of the Church of Jesus Christ suggested that Latter-day Saints should consider themselves divinely rebuked. Others.
Oh, yeah. Oral Roberts University.
Others drew on an obscure item of folklore that held the statue would be animated and blow its horns at the second coming. This prophecy had now been proven false, they claimed, right? Essentially, you know, the trumpet will sound it and we'll be able to and all the things. And now there's no way the trump has fallen.
So, until they get it up, he's not going to sound it. So you're good for a couple days. Or a week. I don't know how long it'll take them to get it back up there.
Well, they can be right for that long, I guess.
Yeah.
Some called it the ultimate mic drop. We shared some of these memes if you're not following us on Facebook. Others made him to look like a breakfast Breakfast Club character. I didn't see that.
I did see that, yes.
That's pretty epic.
The closing scene of Breakfast, a movie that I love, Breakfast Club, when the bad boy is raising his fist in the air, walking across the field.
Yeah.
It actually looks a lot like it, so they've done a comparison with that.
That's pretty awesome. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's winged character from The Tooth Fairy, people have made comparisons. So, people reading into it, there you go.
You know what it is?
What?
It was an earthquake shook it off.
Yeah. You don't believe in miracles in this case either, huh?
That's it.
Is that what you're saying?
No, that's all it is,
okay.
Folks. I'm
all right. All right. At least you're consistent, if nothing else. There is an article that we shared at on our Facebook page. That is facebook.com/theculturalhall. And worth a reminder to tell you that that you should find The Cultural Hall wherever you social media. It's at The Cultural Hall, wherever that is. There is an article from Pathos that we shared about Richard Bushman. Do you know who that is, Kyle?
I had heard the name, but I didn't know anything about him. So I followed that and watched this grainy, hard to hear video.
Yeah. So Richard Bushman, a historian, author of the book Rough Stone Rolling. And the headline of this article is, yet again, has Richard Bushman declared the dominant narrative of church history false? And so you can kind of read it and you can read the comments. And I think that the headline of it is fairly misleading. I think it's that if you were to just see that headline and maybe read a little bit about it, you'd be like, wait a minute, why is the Cultural Hall sharing this anti-Mormon, you know, literature? And I just think it's worth noting, you know, Richard Bushman is an active member of the church. He is a, as far as I am aware, a temple recommend holding person. Now, granted, can people that fall into those things not say things against the church? No, that's not what I'm saying. But he is someone that I know a lot of the brethren respect as far as his historical works go. I've had the opportunity to listen to him. He's very educated. And I, although there is an essence of what he's saying that the narrative that we tell people is false, what he's not saying is the church is false and we should all leave. And man, we have been lied to and all these things. But what he is saying is that there is a more accurate way that we could tell church history than
right.
we currently are or that we have. And that is what I think that, you know, is worth taking a look at. And, you know, people have questioned why we shared that on Facebook. I'm not going to let us fall down the path of destruction. I will challenge some things that we have thought previously when I post stuff. But I will never be like, hey, here's a great spam article that is going to ruin your testimony and lead you all astray. I'm not going to do that. If that happens, I'm sorry, but also if I posted something and you ended up leaving the church, that also is your choice because you get the agency. We go back to that stuff. So wanted to mention that really quick. Lots of missionaries coming home and not being reassigned yet. There's a great article of this. You go to theculturalhall.com in association with this episode. You can see after we made all the hubbub about you know, all the people waiting for missionaries at the at the airport and doing it wrong. There's a great video, and I've seen more than one of these. In fact, we talk with an Elder Lambert, and I'll share this in an upcoming episode. He came home, and what people did, as well as what's in this video that you can find the link at theculturalhall.com, is people, you know, are in their cars and they're honking as he's driving home or waving flags of the country where the guy was serving. And so it's a way for people to welcome these missionaries home without being unsafe.
Yeah. I had actually a very good friend of mine whose son came home. It was actually his time to come home. It just coincidentally was right now. And I forget what country he was in, but came home and I saw a video of it. He and his wife went and picked him up and drove him home, and that was the extent of it. You know, hugged his mom, and that was it.
Does he have to be quarantined because it was the end of his time, or is he not under a quarantine? Do you know?
I am going to have to check with him. I was going to message him and see on that. I would imagine so.
Yeah, I think it is just practice for everyone to have to be quarantined as they come home from a mission now, no matter where they're at. I mean, basically all of us are under quarantine anyway, but I think the missionaries are given the special charge to kind of keep away, stay away, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, good. It'll keep them safe anywhere for those 2 weeks, 2 weeks of temptation.
Yeah, right? And then before they go into the filthy world.
Yeah, girls,
boys,
work.
Depending on if they're sister missionaries, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
yeah. And Kyle's in the filthy world.
No.
The Kyle's of the world.
It's a good thing I didn't go on that 6 week mission, you know, a month ago.
Yeah,
aren't you glad now you didn't send me?
Well, listen, it's not my call to send you, but I appreciate that you remember that. For people who don't know, about 250 episodes ago, I challenged Brother Kyle to go on a mission, and he said, "No, I'm not going for 2 years." And I said, "How long can we get you to go?" We whittled it down to 6 months or 6 weeks, rather. So I'm looking forward to when that happens. Two other things, and then we'll get into the break and then come back with Jason, who is quarantined with six kids. He's one of the OG American quarantiners. He was on the Grand Princess, that cruise line that got docked in California and had to stay there for a while, and then he got quarantined at a hotel for a while. He'll tell you his whole journey. That'll come up in the second half. But parking lots of Latter-day Saint churches in Utah could, in fact, become temporary COVID-19 testing sites if necessary. But the meeting houses probably will not become overflow hospitals with beds and patients, according to the faith's Utah area president. Now, there's no need for this. We haven't flexed into this. Utah's not experiencing a problem that great, but there was that discussion in the event that we needed that space, that room, a kind of a codified place where people could go, that they would open up parking lots of Latter-day Saint churches. But that will not, in fact, be the case. So it's sort of a story, non-story. The mission president made the offer. Nobody's taking him up on it.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. That's where we're at in this age of corona story. What else can we talk about?
You know, they have closed all the temples. We have had one corona death in Utah, and that gentleman attended the Bountiful Utah Temple.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 days before he tested positive or before he perished. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But recently, and so that was, I think, the first Utah temple to completely shut down, no living or dead ordinances, and now the church has just said, yeah, we're going to, guys, it's closed worldwide. We're done.
And for some reason, I was thinking that they had closed them before that.
No, they had closed them. They had closed them to any ordinances for the dead, and we're still doing like weddings and temple sealings and, you know, allowing you to get your endowments. And now they've just said, nope, no thank you. You're done. Be safe. Stay home.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Which I actually have to go wash my hands, Kyle. So let's call that it. I wanted
all
to
right,
make sure
yeah.
that we get in. If you want to wish Brother Kyle a happy birthday, please do so. You can do that on our Facebook page. You can slide into the DMs on the Instagram, because that's what kids say. You can message us on Twitter. He said that he would love more than anything to hear from you for his birthday. So make sure that you do that. Brother Kyle, from one of the originals, thank you so much for all that you do for the Cultural Hall and caring and loving. And I hope that you don't get into a bike accident on your birthday.
Nope. XOXO. Thank you.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hey, everybody. Let's talk about Best DJ in Utah for just a minute. So here's the deal. Coronavirus has had an impact on said industry. Like, what do you mean, Richie? Well, literally every single event that I have for the month of March and the month of April, gone. Well, won't that impact your bottom line and your ability to live, Richie? Kinda. So when you're thinking about planning an event later in the year of 2020, won't you please consider bestdjinutah.com. It's simple. You can go there. You just fill out a little bit of information. Lets me know where the event is going to be. And then I provide a quote. I get it right back to you. And then maybe we can party together. Now I do parties. You got the karaoke. We can do that too. Maybe you're making the pilgrimage to Utah and you want to have the big family reunion. I've done that. Maybe you're coming into town for one of those MLM conferences and you want to throw a big party for your team. I've done those as well. Doesn't matter what it is. Even if you just want to hang out with me, you can go to bestdjinutah.com, fill out the information, get a quote, and then maybe we can party together.
Hey, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops. I know we're going through a lot right now. Many states are quarantining people to their homes so that they have to work remotely. One of the things that's really important is to have a computer that's functioning correctly. One with a good webcam, one that's fast so you can be productive, one that has a good quality screen because you're going to be on this all day remotely. Computer supply has been strained because manufacturing has almost stopped. At PC Laptops, we've secured a limited quantity of laptop and desktop computers that are backed with a lifetime service guarantee. They're available for you right now in limited quantity. The great thing about PC Laptops is this. Once you buy your new computer, if you have any problems or questions, we're here to take care of you. Also, to make it really easy right now, we've arranged with some banks to offer 12-month special financing. Get into PC Laptops right now, because at PC Laptops, we're here for you and we're in this together. PCLaptops.com.
So here in this part of the episode, I'm joined by Jason. You might know him if you've spent any sort of time online. You can find him at quarantined_with_6_kids. I hope that that is hyperbole and that you're not actually quarantined with six kids, because that seems like a house full of chaos.
Oh, it was way more than a house full of chaos. We were on the Grand Princess with six kids in two tiny rooms with no windows for a week.
So when we talk about quarantine, we're talking full on quarantine on a ship away from the comforts of home, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we could not leave the room. We had masks on. We had food dropped at our door. And yeah, a good solid week of that. And then we were shipped to a military base where we were under quarantine for another 5 days. We thought they were going to keep us there for 2 weeks, but then Washington State shipped us home and said, okay, start your 14-day quarantine now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be minimum a month of quarantine, not leaving. And yes, six kids.
So that is real.
Oh yeah, 1 to 12 in ages.
So when we talk about quarantine and we talk about the coronavirus, you're essentially one of the OGs of the coronavirus, right? All the rest of us just joining in with the coronavirus and the self quarantine. I mean, we're learning from those that have gone before us, and that's you, Jason.
Right. It kind of cracks me up. We hear people saying, welcome to the new normal to us on our Instagram. And I'm like, really? Welcome? We've been doing this for 3 weeks, people.
Yeah.
We have not seen another soul other than people in masks and hazmat suits for a month. So don't talk to me about how you're just seeing it or how we're joining you.
New normal for you. All right. So let's back it up. Let's pick up some of the pieces as we talk about this. You're going on a cruise, the Grand Princess, you said?
Grand Princess to Hawaii for 15 days, which some people thought was really dumb with six kids anyway.
Well, sure. Like, to me, there's some element of like, that sounds like quarantined anyway. Rooms, no windows on a cruise ship. But you, your wife, you decided this is a time. We're going to do this, you know, no time like the present. Set out and do this grand adventure.
Yeah. So we decided, well, we thought about it a few times, and then we decided almost last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Grabbed the cruise and hopped on and had a great trip to Hawaii. Got to see some islands, got to see some beautiful stuff. We had some crazy storms but pretty heavy seas for a day or two on the way back. So the kids couldn't play in the pool anyway.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden they said, somebody had coronavirus on this ship 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, prior to your cruise, so hang tight, we'll keep you posted.
So do they do that like over the cruise TV, or like, attention, so ladies and gentlemen, right, there's a coronavirus, that kind of thing?
Exactly, the muffled voice, which I'm sure half the cruise thought everybody was dead on the cruise. And
and the other half was not paying attention because they're like, exactly, cool, slot machines or whatever the entertainment on the boat is, sure.
Exactly. So we start, so this is, what was the date? Thursday 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
March 5th, my wife is saying. So mm-hmm. March 5th, we get the official announcement that yes, indeed, somebody did test positive from the previous boat and somebody had died, and a lot of the same crew members are still on the boat. So everybody go to your room and we'll let you know what happens.
So what's your reaction to that? Because, you know, as much as it seems like we're absorbed in Corona now, 3 weeks ago, it would have been like, oh, that's unfortunate. Somebody had a thing and they died and we'll hopefully.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I work in healthcare and, you know, it's for most of us, it's a bad flu.
Yeah.
Maybe not even a bad flu. I mean, most of us who are young and healthy, it's not a big deal. So I wasn't terribly concerned about getting it even.
Mm-hmm.
The big concern was, well, what are they going to do? Are they going to lock us down and are we going to get off the boat? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in constant connection with the CDC and the California government, who does not want us to come home now. Right.
Because
we can Corona to them. So they test anybody who's sick, and I can't remember if they tested all the crew members. I don't think so, but they tested a lot of the crew members. And so we wait in our rooms for a day, and then they come back and say, well, here's the deal. 21 of you tested positive, or 21 of the people we tested were positive. So don't leave your room. Okay, good.
All right, so I know that these rooms are really small, but we're going to ask you to just stay locked.
That sounds hellacious. Because if anyone is listening that has never been on a cruise before, these aren't spacious rooms. Like, even if you pony up the big money, those rooms are not massive. It is like when you're on a cruise ship, you go to those rooms to sleep, maybe to shower, and that's it. The rest of the time, you're going to want to be in big open areas or on the land.
Right, right. We had a lot of people criticize us on some of the news articles and stuff that were out there. They're like, well, if you can't afford to get a room with a balcony, why are you going on a cruise?
Hmm.
We intentionally bought the room without the window.
Right.
Because why waste the money, right?
Right.
So we had no intention of being in the room. Jokes on us. We were in the room. All right.
Yeah.
So we had two rooms adjacent to each other. So we could, you know, sneak back and forth between the rooms and mix things up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
which initially the crew wasn't too excited about. They got mad at us. And I said, those are my kids. So deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, don't.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to be separated from my spouse for the next who knows how long, right?
Right,
if you
exactly.
divide and conquer, it's still like, no, guys, we're going to give it to each other anyway. We'll manage. Thank you very much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So one of the things that I think was unique about our situation is that this past summer, we felt pretty strongly inspired to start homeschooling our kids. We have long been anti-homeschoolers, maybe.
Yeah.
Is that
I think that's a way you could say it. Like there's a certain amount of the population that goes, okay, weirdos, to keep your kids
at
home.
Exactly. And we, you know, between the prophet saying you need to teach your kids at home and home centered, church supported and all this stuff, We felt pretty strongly about it, so we gave it a shot this year with the intention of taking advantage of it and being able to go on a 2-week cruise or something like that.
Sure.
So we, you know, we're sitting in these tiny rooms, but we'd been homeschooling and home churching, not really, but you know, you do your part on Sunday where we spend some time doing our church stuff. And in that sense, it worked out really well because we already had spent way too much time together.
Yeah.
And we had schoolwork there so that we could entertain them a little bit with schoolwork. And we did exercises in the aisle between the bunk beds, which was about 2.5 feet wide and about 6 feet long. And so we felt extremely blessed to have been prepared by a prophet for all of this, you know,
and sort of led that way, which I think is interesting, to have that, not only that knowledge, but that surety of like, hey, what we're doing is correct. And that it happened to benefit you in this particular instance. I want to go back. So you're stuck on the boat. They're saying, hey, lots of people tested positive. Hey, we don't know when you're going to get off. California doesn't want you. So you finally are able to get off the ship. And then you're quarantined, what, on land in these tents that we're seeing on the news?
No, it was much better. So we had, initially they said, we're skipping Mexico. There was supposed to be a one, you know, a afternoon stop in Mexico. Yeah. And we're going to California. We'll be there a couple of days early.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens. So, you know, in the back of our minds, there's this confusion as to, are we going to get off early or are we just going to sit there for longer? You know, what is actually going to happen? So every day we're updated a little bit more, very, very minimal information, not the ship's fault, just nobody knew what was happening. Right.
Right. Right.
So we go within, I don't know, 50, 60 miles of San Francisco. And then we just run circles. They bring in helicopters to ship off. There were a couple of people who were taken off the boat who were sick. They brought in supplies. They brought in testing equipment, all that kind of stuff with helicopters and you know, new medical personnel to help out and things like that. So after floating there forever, we docked on Sunday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, you know, we're working out the details. We're going to start unloading California residents first tomorrow, and then we're going to get to the others, right?
Yeah.
So,
and you're like, are we going alphabetical? Are we going height beyond California?
Right.
Like, how are we doing this?
Right.
Yeah.
Are we going the people with the most kids?
Yeah.
Are we going?
Please.
That was not the case.
Please get me.
Right.
Yeah.
We had a quarter of the kids on the boat, by the way. So there was that. So we get there, they delay it a day or two, and then they start moving some of the California people. But some of the other countries like Canada, day one said, here's a plane, get our people off. So they took all the Canadians off.
Mm-hmm.
I think UK did the same thing. There were, you know, they were aggressive in getting their people out. And we were in touch with Washington State, and they were saying, we're going to get you off. We're going to get you home. They're trying to make all these arrangements. It almost felt like we were going to get off the boat and go straight home.
Mm-hmm.
So day after day, we waited for our name to be called. We had our bags all packed. They said, take 24 hours worth of necessary, you know, luggage, clothes, and toiletries. Put the rest outside of your cabin. We'll gather it up so that it'll go where you're going. And we ended up getting off Thursday, which was 5 days after they
Five days of 24 hours worth of things.
Correct. Very, very smelly. Very. We're trying to wash stuff in the sink. We're trying to, and we had purposely packed it, you know, what we needed, and we were trying to avoid doing really expensive laundry on the boat because we didn't need to. We had just enough stuff to make it.
Sure.
So there was nothing to change into anyway.
Yeah, and it's a small fortune if you're doing laundry for eight people somewhere not at home.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the irony of all of that is that, you know, by the time we packed all this stuff up, they send us a letter that says, we're going to reimburse all the money for your cruise. We're giving you a free credit for a cruise in the future if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And anything and everything that you spent on the cruise, we're just going to wipe your account.
Oh,
yes. we did nothing. We were cheapskates. We rented our own cars. We didn't do the excursions. We didn't go on a helicopter ride. All of that would have been free.
Oh. And I just think of the ice cream alone you could eat on a cruise ship.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
No, the ice cream was free.
Ah.
Soft drinks are not.
See, the soft drinks alone. The soft
exactly.
drinks alone.
And our kids figured out the very last day and a half that they could call the room service and get soft drinks for free. So they started calling like every 2 minutes, we want cookies and a Sprite, please. You know, and they'd bring them down. But then they started running out of drinks by the time we were on there 5 days extra.
Oh, wow.
So had we known, we would have been calling the whole time.
So but, you finally get off the ship, and what do they do?
Right. So they haul us off the ship. Of course, we got to be masked up, and we got to social distance the best we can. They put us on a bus with 85 other people, hand us a lunch bag, and say, "Okay, start eating." Like, with the mask or without? Because we've been in isolation for a week trying to not get sick. So everybody takes their masks off and eats and put them back on, and then they shuffle us onto an airplane and they fly us to Miramar, the Marine Corps base there, where Top Gun was filmed, by the way.
Yeah.
And we land in the very runway that Maverick landed on.
Yeah, there you go. And
it was totally worth it. Yeah. The whole thing was worth it. So they ship us in these buses to actually a hotel on base there. Mm-hmm. And this thing is, you know, fenced in. Everybody's got like masks and hazmat suits and all this stuff. And they unload us and they give us these hotel rooms, which were quite spacious for us. They had, you know, two separate adjoining rooms. So we had 6 beds, 2 kings and 4 queens.
Oh yeah. The kids are like, We want coronavirus quarantine exactly. Every day, Dad. Woo!
Exactly. Yeah. It was great. So they initially tell us 48 hours in your room. You cannot leave. You cannot do anything. Mm-hmm. And then we'll reassess. We're going to come around. We're going to take your temperature twice a day. We're going to do all this stuff.
And all the while, none of you guys have shown any symptoms or even asymptomatic of the whole thing, right? It's just we happen to be in the same place as what's going on. So safety precaution.
Right. Right. I mean, a couple of us have got some headaches maybe because we're rocking on a boat and can't leave and haven't seen the sun and we've got 6 kids, but yeah. No cough, no fever, nothing like that. So we get there and within an hour they say, "Okay, come down and get your lunch or get your dinner." Like, what about the 48 hours? And they said, "Oh, we're going to lift that." So clearly nobody really knows what's going on.
Right.
So we make our way down to the lunch area with our masks on. And everybody in the hotel is standing in the lobby packed, you know, in this big line to try to get this food. And we get our food. We go back and then they do this conference call for everybody to ask questions. And of course, a bunch of people are upset that we have quarantined ourselves for a week. And then you stick us in a small room and not social distance ourselves.
Right.
So they're making adjustments on the fly. They start delivering food to the door, and then other times it's, well, just try to spread out a little bit more in the lines, and they're, you know, they don't have a ton of answers. The hotel, apparently the government said, "We need your hotel." They said, "Okay, great," and they left. Did not leave access to keys to like utility closets. So there's no cleaning supplies, there's no toothpaste for anybody, there's no toilet paper, that, you know, all
perfect.
This stuff.
There. Perfect. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's no means necessary to clean oneself or clean rooms.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Here's a laundromat. Yeah. It's going to cost you a bunch of quarters to do it. So people are buying sodas and buying chips out of the vending machines, trying to get change and empty all the quarters, and they're gone. And so we get... say, "Can we have people send us stuff?" And they're like, "Yeah, just, you know, even Amazon, just send it." And so 2 days after everybody places their orders, they come in and say, "Don't just send it to the hotel. Here's the address." Well, too late for that.
Yeah.
So all of this stuff has to go to the main gates of the base.
Right.
And they have to be sorted through. They have to be screened and all this stuff and then delivered. So we actually managed to have a couple of friends with local friends in the San Diego area deliver some stuff. And we were able to get some gift baskets with toothpaste and quarters and some of those things we really needed, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know, getting ready for 14 days of living on this in this hotel,
mm-hmm.
Which had a playground area so the kids could go out as long as they had their masks on and they could play on a playground. And we had people bring in, you know, basketballs and footballs and soccer balls and toys and crafts and games. Like, they went out of their way to do everything they could to make us comfortable.
Sure.
You know, within their power, which was great. But right as we got settled in, we get a phone call at 7 at night, I think. Mm-hmm. They said, pack your bags. You're leaving at 8 in the morning.
Perfect.
To Washington. Like, oh, I guess that's good. Do we want that? Do we not? We had initially said, if we have to bus and fly back to Washington with masks on and all this crazy stuff, maybe it's not worth it. So we were kind of going back and forth.
Right.
And I made mention of that at one point, and they said, oh, wait, just kidding. You're not on the list. And then, of course, the kids started crying. We want to go home.
Yeah. Are we so going or back. Not? That brings up an interesting point. All along this, you know, this is something sort of out of the ordinary for you guys, certainly. But, you know, kids, as people will say, really, really thrive within structure and within things that are known. Your kids doing pretty well with all this.
They've been amazing with it.
Okay.
You know, they missed their dog. They missed their friends a little bit. But they're so resilient. They just, whoa, this is kind of an adventure. You know, we're in the middle of it, and somebody sneezes, and my 5-year-old daughter goes, Corona, you know. but you know, people are delivering these little care packages with toys and coloring stuff, and they're like, whoa, Christmas, best day ever, you know.
Yeah, so yeah,
they have really done well with it.
So they say, hey, we're going to Washington, and then they go, oh, hey, you're not on the list.
You're not on the list. So we call back and say, can we get on that list? You know, we'd really like to be home if that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So we wait pins and needles for, I don't know, 45 minutes, something like that. And we're about 9 o'clock at night, bags half packed.
Yeah. Like, we sort of believe it, but we'll believe it when we hear it, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. And they call us back and they said, yep, you're good. You're on the list. You're leaving at 8 in the morning. So we scramble and pack everything up and get ready to get on a flight to come home to Washington. Now, the catch with that is we drove to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
So our van is parked in San Francisco. And I did not want to fly back to Washington and then fly back to San Francisco and get my car and drive it home.
Right. It seems like a risk, if nothing else. I mean, a hassle, certainly, but a risk.
Yeah.
If, in fact, you could be infected or asymptomatic of the whole thing, that you could potentially going to get that infect more people.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yep.
So we said, whatever, we'll worry about that when we need to. So at this point, I'll be honest, I am dreading this trip. I am thinking this is going to be miserable, trying to keep a 1-year-old's mask on for a bus drive and a flight. And we're flying into Spokane, which is 2.5 hours from where we live. There's, you know, we don't know, are we getting bused from Spokane? Are we getting private car? We don't know what's happening. So I'm a little bit nervous about this whole process. And we get in the van. They had a big bus for everybody else, Washington State, and they were nice enough to get us a van to drive us the 2 blocks over to where the airplane was.
Mm-hmm.
So we get in the van, we sit there for maybe 15 or 20 minutes, and they pull out of the parking lot and onto the main road. So we're just outside of the gates, and the guy parks, and we're waiting apparently for the airplane to land because it hasn't landed.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my kids says, I need to go to the bathroom.
Of course.
And the guy says, yeah, exactly. And the guy says, I'm sorry, you can't get out here because we're no longer within the quarantine.
Like zone.
Gates. Zone. Yeah. Yeah. So an hour and 45 minutes of all the kids jumping up and down, you know, trying doing the pee-pee dance, trying not to pee their pants. Our 5-year-old, we actually put a diaper on her and told her to pee because, mm-hmm. you know, what are we?
Because what options do you have? Right.
So we get to the tarmac, and of course, we're a family of six kids, and so they think they're doing us a favor and load us very last, and you know, so we don't have to sit on the plane. But we're like, there's a toilet on the plane, can we please use it?
Right.
But you know, it took a good 2 hours to get on the plane, which was literally a few blocks from where we were. And all of my fears are coming to light here, right? I'm going, okay, this is not worth it.
Yeah.
I want to stay in that hotel for the next 9 days, drive home a free man without a mask on. But we did the flight. The flight was not terrible. We land in Spokane. We walk off, and there's a row of rental cars and one big white van. And the guy says,
which one's for you guys?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which one is ours? So we get off, and the guy says, okay, drive home and quarantine yourself. Like, oh, well, that was not so bad. Then, of course, we had to wait for another 45 minutes there because nobody thinks about car seats unless they have little kids with them.
Sure.
So we get there. We drive home.
Tell me that you get in the van, and in true American fashion, you turn to all your kids and to your wife and say, where do you guys want to go now? And then you...
Right. No, they wanted to go home.
Sure.
It had been almost a month. They're right. Like, I don't want to see anything but my bed and my house. So, we had no problem cruising straight home. And you know, we're driving home, and we have a couple of friends text my wife and say, hey, do you need anything? Groceries? And she's like, yeah, maybe some milk and some fresh produce. We've got our food storage, but milk would be nice. So we get home, and our house is covered with hearts and messages from all of our ward members and friends.
Aww.
And we walk in, and there is just bags and bags and bags of groceries and milk and bread and you know, just crazy amounts of food, more than we need for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it was such a blessing to know we had a ward family and even families from previous wards that live 30, 40 miles away were driving out and dropping stuff off. And yeah, and then we're free here, so we can go in our own backyard if we want, and we can't go to the grocery store, we can't do anything else. We didn't have our car, but we had some friends get that for us, which was awesome.
So how much longer at this point are you guys quarantined?
Well, that's a good question, because we had done 5 days of our mandatory
14 days.
Well, we did 7 days on the boat.
Okay.
And then we did an additional 5-6-ish days from when the CDC officially said, here's the start of your quarantine period. And then yesterday, I get an email from the Washington Department of Health that says, now that you're back in Washington, 14-day quarantine period.
So, go ahead and restart that ticker, and your kids are like, man, whatever. All my friends,
exactly.
We haven't seen friends in forever. Just forget it. We're fine.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need anybody. We're homeschooled. We're weird.
So, essentially going to be quarantined. You, like a lot of people that are listening to this and are finding themselves, you know, the socially distant, the quarantined, the isolated away from everyone else. I guess one of the last things that I would ask you before I let you get back to that very busy schedule, which is being quarantined,
right,
is how has your faith sort of helped you in this whole experience?
Oh, it's been absolutely essential, in my opinion, to stay remotely sane.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about that.
So there's a couple of things. I mentioned briefly before just the fact that we felt very much guided to do the homeschooling thing, to do the church. And, you know, it had been a month since we had taken the sacrament because of, you know, we'd been on the boat. We tried to do our home church thing there, but we were contacted this past Sunday by our bishop, and he said, you know, our stake president has authorized everybody to do the sacrament at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to take the sacrament in our hotel room in quarantine there. And man, that was an amazing experience with the kids.
How come?
I'm not sure if it was just the uniqueness of actually being able to do the sacrament in our home, or if
she can, she tell her she can come on. She doesn't have to. She doesn't have to keep prompting you from the side. Jason, yeah. Jason's wife, if you can hear it, I don't know that everyone that's listening can hear it. You hear this? Tell them that it's your first year,
right?
It's like, hey, you can come on.
So here, you want the honest truth?
Yeah.
Initially, she wasn't dressed. So now she is dressed.
Ah, the beauty of Zoom phone calls,
yes.
Right?
Right. So we had, our kids have never sat still for the sacrament or for anything.
Yeah.
They're ADD and crazy. And anyway, we set it up and we said, we're doing church, guys. We're dressing up. So we all got dressed in our Sunday best.
Mm-hmm.
My 10-year-old son said, can I conduct the meeting? I said, absolutely. So he wrote out the meeting schedule. My 12-year-old daughter, offered to give a talk. My 6-year-old daughter offered to give a talk. The other two said, we'll bear our testimonies. So we did the sacrament and, you know, they gave their talks. My wife, we took a little break, and then my wife did a primary type lesson after that from Come Follow Me. And just the whole thing, knowing again that we felt like we had been prepared by following the prophet up to this point. We understood the importance of having teaching our kids in the home. We understood the importance of having scriptures and having prayer and having these Come Follow Me lessons at home. So we had been doing those along the way. And so this was just a little bit of a step up, in terms of the intensity of it. But because of a lot of that, there was never a point. And my wife may, she left the room now, she may disagree slightly in terms of the way she felt, but there was never a point where I was worried about getting really sick or about the world coming to an end or about, anything terrible happening. It was very easy for me to say, okay, whatever his plan is, this is part of it.
Yeah.
So we'll just go with it. The other thing, I do not do social media. I haven't been on Facebook in 3 or 4 years. I occasionally put stuff on Instagram so that we can get the chat books and we don't have to save pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend said, why don't you do a Instagram
channel or whatever you call it.
Channel, yeah. Because people are interested what's happening in your in this whole situation. So I set one up and tried to figure out how to use Instagram, and we had close to 7,000 followers at one point. We had Fox News, NBC News. We had news groups from Australia, from China, from Great Britain, from, I can't remember, there were multiple different countries and all over our country trying to contact us to interview us. And, part of it was like, oh, this is kind of fun. This is kind of exciting. But the impression that we got was this is a great opportunity for us to show positivity, show what faith in Christ is, and to share that on social media. So that we didn't do a whole lot of that. But at one point you hear, in our Instagram feed, we are singing, well, ironically, Christmas songs to our kids at night, but we're singing to them. And we posted our church activities, and we posted on there, this is why we feel prepared, because we're members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and our prophets have prepared us for something like this for a long time.
Yeah.
And so we felt like it's been a good opportunity to at least attempt some missionary work. And yeah, like I said, just a general piece through the whole thing. It's been hard, for sure, but it's been just a really good faith promoting experience for us, trusting in God and trusting that he has a plan that's bigger than us.
Yeah. And something that certainly your kids won't soon forget, and I'm sure that you guys won't forget for a good long time, if ever. In wrapping it out, we ask everyone who steps into the Cultural Hall three questions. I'll ask those of you right now, and then I'll leave you to that busy quarantine time that you have. The first question is do you have a calling right now? And if so, what is it?
Yeah, so I am a first counselor in the Elders Quorum.
Okay.
And that's been kind of fun because... Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, I am in quarantine in California, not home, making phone calls to members of my quorum, making sure that they're okay, and they won't answer because they're trying to figure out how am I doing. You know?
Right, right.
So, wait, tell me your story. You know, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah,
you
know? I'm fine. Let's worry about the other people because that's why I called right now. Can we
exactly.
please? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I do.
If you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or make one up, what would you pick?
So I love teaching primary. I had it for about a year mm-hmm. before they stole me back to the Elders Quorum for like the 12th time. And yeah, primary.
Something,
teaching the kids.
What particular age or what particular duty within the primary?
That's a good question. Probably 5 to 7 year olds would be my favorite, and just teaching. I love to teach, so I have enjoyed, you know, gospel doctrine teaching and some of those other teaching callings as well.
Yeah.
But primary is where I feel comfortable. They're at my level intellectually.
Yeah. and then the last question that we ask everyone, and you've spoken to this a little bit, but I'll ask the question directly in. And that question is what is your favorite part of your faith?
Yeah, what is my favorite part of the faith? I probably have spoken a little bit to it, and now I'm kind of struggling a little bit. I think, so obviously my testimony in Christ is the most important, and that's what makes me the happiest and the most comfortable of all of it. But we have moved quite a few times. We have been all over the country, and the fact that everywhere we go, we have an immediate ward family has been just a huge, huge blessing. People willing to reach out, people willing to be there for us, built-in friends. That has been a lifesaver for us in a lot of cases. And we are very social people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really that hard for us to make friends, but man, for the kids and the ease of just walking in and feeling at home anywhere we go, that has been such a blessing in our lives, I would say.
I need to give a huge shout out to Kurt Frankham over at Leading Saints, who helped us connect so that we could be able to do this. Huge props to him and everything that he's doing. You can find the stuff that he does at leadingsaints.org. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, that if you are not healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you. 6 feet away from each other, because we're in that social distancing, on the back row of the Cultural Hall.